There we go. All right. If you would, take your Bible and turn to the James chapter number 1. James chapter 1 is where we'll be this morning. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. Amen. All right. You know, sometimes in church, Brother Johnny, the Holy Spirit's loud. Sometimes He's real quiet. I think He's being quiet this morning. If you'll listen close enough, you'll hear what He's saying. James chapter 1 is where we'll be this morning. All right. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. James chapter number 1, we'll begin here in verse number 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That's where we'll stop this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. Lord, I just thank You for the time of fellowship that we've had. And God, I thank You for the time of worship that we've had through song. And Lord, I just can already feel Your Holy Spirit in this place today, God. So I just pray, Lord, that as these people are sitting out here, Lord, there's many people in here represented from all different families, and they're going through a bunch of different stuff, God, that nobody knows except You. So I just pray that for the next few minutes, God, that You'll make Your presence real to us, God, that You'll come down and work Your way through these aisles. God, wrap Your arms around somebody that desperately needs You. Lord, we thank You so much for all You've been for us. And Lord, we'll thank You for all You're going to do for us today. For all of it, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wish I could stand up here this morning and tell you that life was easy. But I can't. I wish I could stand up here this morning and tell you that the rest of your life was going to be smooth sailing. But I can't. I wish I could tell you that you'd never have to go to a graveside and bury somebody who you love more than anything in this world, but I can't. I wish I could tell you that you wouldn't have to go to the doctor and get a bad report from him, but I can't do that either. And I wish I could tell you that everybody in our immediate family, all their marriages, they would all last. No divorces would ever come, but I'm not in any position to tell you that either. And the question that gets raised more than any question as people sit in pastor's office around this whole country is, why would a loving God allow me to suffer the way that I am? And today there's been people that have walked into church this morning and you've smiled when you've walked in, but at home you've been crying all week because of the trials and suffering that you've been enduring. And the facts of life this morning are, there's nowhere that we can run. Doesn't matter how much money we have. Doesn't matter how strong of a Christian we are. Doesn't matter what place of the country we are. There's nowhere that we can run to escape the trials and suffering of this life. And you know, if you're like me, your natural reaction when trouble comes to your life is to say, God, this hurts and I want out. God, this is painful and I just want it to be over. Can I tell you, God's got something far more important than our immediate relief and trial. Far more important to God than going through immediate relief from our trial is that in the midst of our trial, you learn something from it. Because it's during the midst of your trials that you learn some of the greatest lessons that God will ever teach you. It's not during the good times of life that you learn the most. It's during the hard times of life that you learn the most. And James talks about it right here, verse 2 in your King James. He says, divers temptations, but that just means various trials. He's talking about every single kind of trial that you can go through in this life. James brings it to your mind this morning. The half-brother of Jesus writing about trials. And we see here that in order to accomplish what I just said, in order to learn something in the midst of your trial, rather than just wanting out, wanting relief from the pain, you're going to have wisdom. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. James is saying, if you don't have wisdom, ask God for it, because you're going to need it in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your suffering, and in the midst of your hardship. He says you're going to need wisdom. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is not when they give you a test, you make 100 on it. Wisdom is not knowing every verse in this Bible. Wisdom, rather, in your Bible means the ability to see things the way God sees them. That's what wisdom is. The ability to see things the way God sees them. Now let me ask you something. When trial and hardship comes in your life, do you view it with your eyes or do you view it with God's eyes? I'll tell you how you can know. If you're viewing it from your perspective, this is what you'll do when hardship comes. You'll roll over, you'll quit, you'll see no purpose for it, and you'll waste the whole entire time and you'll never learn anything throughout. But when you begin to view it from God's perspective, you say, there's a purpose for this. You say, God's doing this for some reason. Because you know why? There is absolutely nothing in this life that can touch you unless God allows it. Absolutely nothing in this life can come your way unless God allows it to touch you. If there's a trial that's coming your way, it had to go past God's permission first. See, God is just standing here blocking all these trials behind us. And if God were to ever take His hand off our life would be over in one day. Because everything would demolish us just like that. If it were not for the divine intervention of God's hand every day on our lives, we would not make it. Can I tell you, God is standing here blocking everything from getting to us. But sometimes, God allows those things to get to us, doesn't He? And that means that sometimes He steps aside and says, only you can go. And guess what? If He allowed it to touch you, that means He's got a purpose for it. It had to get past His permission first. And if it got past His permission, He's got a purpose for taking you through whatever He's taking you through. What do trials look like from God's perspective? What does hardship look like from God's perspective? And that's what we're going to talk about today for the next few minutes. Viewing our trials of life from God's perspective. And we've got God's Word here. This Word right here is God's letter to us written on paper. And in order to know what God's mind looks like, we need to be in here. So to see what our trials look like, we need to go to the Word of God. And firstly, we'll see that trials from God's perspective are inevitable. Trials are inevitable. Look at verse 2 in which we just read. The Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy. And what's that next word? Not if, when. When you fall into various trials. He did not say be joyful if these trials come. He said, but when they come. And the fact of life this morning is you and I are in three stages of life. One of three. We are in a storm, we're coming out of a storm, or we're walking right back into a storm. And you're in one of three places this morning. And you know it better than I do where you are. In the storm, coming out of it, or going right back into one. And can I tell you this morning, it does not matter if you were perfect the rest of your life, which is impossible, you and I are still going to go through suffering. And you know what that means? That God does not send suffering because of what we do. He's not mad at us when He sends suffering our way. He's not punishing us when He sends suffering our way. You want to know how? Because Jesus was perfect. Jesus never sinned one time, and the Bible says that Jesus suffered more than anybody else ever did on the face of this earth. And He never did one thing wrong. The Bible says that He learned obedience through the things that He suffered. So you and I are going to suffer in this life, and there's nothing that we can do to get past it. But the Bible says, when you fall into these various trials. Not if. And the biggest lie that the devil tells us is that because you're a Christian, you're exempt from trouble. And that's not true at all. The only thing that being a Christian does in the midst of trouble is gives us somebody to walk beside us through it. Everybody in this life is going to go through trouble, but we as Christians have somebody to walk right beside us through it. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Nobody else has anybody to walk with them through it, but we do. If we've got breath in our lungs this morning, we don't have to go through struggle. That's just the facts of life. And I'm not standing up here. My job is not to make you happy. Charles Stanley said last night, it's to make you holy. And the truth is hard sometimes. There's nowhere that we can run to get out of trouble. So what do we do about it? James tells us something that does not make sense to do about it. What's he say in verse 2? He said, count it all joy. Now, joy and trials, those two words just don't seem to go together, do they? James is not talking about when you get a bad report from the doctor saying, praise God, I love that I'm sick. Is he? He's not talking about when something in your family happens and you've got to go to the funeral home, you say, praise God, I love just going through trouble. But the joy that James is talking about is just having that inner peace about you. Saying, not that I'm joyful about what I'm going through right now, but I'm joyful knowing that God is in control, knowing that my Bible says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we know that God, through this trouble, is working out something good through it. That's the kind of joy James wants us to have. How else are we supposed to have joy in the midst of these various trials? Because we view them from God's perspective. If we view them from ours, it'll look like there's no reason for them, no purpose for them. But when we begin to view it from God's perspective, this is what you'll see. That trials drive you closer to the Lord. That trials make you rely upon the Lord. That trials purify your faith. That trials make you stronger. And that trials equip you to strengthen other people in their trials. I know I said that quick, so I'll go through them real quick. Trials from God's perspective, firstly, are inevitable. I want you to see, secondly, that trials from God's perspective drive us closer to Him. Trials drive us closer to the Lord. And I hate using myself in an illustration, but I'm going to do it this morning. And I know none of y'all were probably like this, but I was. There was a time in my life where I didn't care about God. There was a time in my life where I didn't care about coming to God's house. There was a time in my life where my Bible sat on my nightstand and I didn't care about reading it. There was a time in my life where I did not care about the things of God or doing anything for God. I had my future planned out. I was going to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to live my life the way I wanted to live it. And I had my priorities all mixed up. And if all these things up here messed up, then I'd go to God and say, all right, I got you now. But you know what happened? God sent a trial that shook me. God sent a trial that shook me. You know what He did? Those things that were above Him, the first thing on my list, you know what He did? He took it away just like that. The thing that I loved most in my life, God took it away. But you know what happened that night? For the first time in I don't know how long, when I went to bed that night, I got on my knees and said, God, I know I hadn't been here in a while, but I need You now. And for the first time in I don't know how long, when I got in my bed and turned on my lamp on my nightstand, that Bible was shouting at me and said, I got Your answer in here. And I hadn't been able to put it down since. And it was through that trial that I began to know God more than I've ever known in my entire life. But through that, I was thinking, God, why would You do this to me? God, why would You take this from me? I don't see a purpose for this, God. All I knew was that it hurt. All I knew was that it was painful. Can I tell you, sitting in 2018, looking back at it, 5 years ago, I see exactly why God did it with me. Because if it were not for that, I don't know where I'd be today. There's no way I'd be standing behind here, I can tell you that. if it was not for that, God sending that trial to me, I'd be nowhere near to Him today. God sends us trials sometimes. And sometimes we look at Him and say, God, why would You do this to me? And we run away from Him. But God does not send trouble in our lives to look at Him and run away. But God rather sends trouble in our lives to rather run towards Him, not run away from Him. Sometimes God sends trouble our way to drive us closer to Him. Thirdly, God sends trials our way to make us rely upon Him. Now, I'll ask you a question that I probably know the answer to. I want you to think about right now how much you pray when everything in your life is going good. When your finances are good, when you ain't got any trouble paying the bills, when your health is good, when your husband or your wife's health is good, when everything's just going perfect in your life, how much do you pray? Now I want you to compare it to how much you pray when everything starts getting messed up. When you're scared that you're going to get a bad report from the doctor, when your finances aren't really working out and you don't know how you're going to make it the next month, how much do you pray then? If you're like me, you pray a whole lot more when trouble comes. If you're like me, you pray a whole lot more when you're in trouble, when adversity comes, and when trial comes. And we come to the Lord and say, God, I need Your help now. And you know what God's up to? That's exactly what He wanted. Was for us to come to Him and make us rely upon Him. And He says, I just don't want you relying on me when everything's bad in your life, but I rather want you relying on me when everything's perfect in your life, because you need me just as much during those times as you do in these times. The Bible calls us the sheep of God. And I'll just lay it out flat. The dumbest animal on this globe is a sheep. And that's what the Bible says the children of God are. That's what you and me are. Sheep. Because you know what happens if a sheep wanders away from his shepherd just for one night? More than likely he'll fall over. And you know what happens when he falls? He cannot get himself back up. And an enemy will come and completely devour him before the night's over. And that's why the sheep constantly has to stay near his shepherd. He constantly has to be listening for the voice of his shepherd, because if he wanders off and he falls over, he has no way to pick himself back up. And that's what we are. We wander off and we fall over, we ain't got no chance to pick ourselves back up. And that's why we've got to be constantly listening for his voice to lead us in the right way. Constantly relying upon Him. Not just when things get bad, but when things are going good. We say, God, I need You even now too. God wants us relying upon Him, not just when everything's bad, but when everything is good too. And when you fall on your knees and say, God, I need help. That's what He wanted the entire time. Was for you to say, I need help. So He could give it to you. Trials drive us closer to the Lord. Trials make us rely upon the Lord. And fourthly, trials purify our faith. Trials purify our faith. Now our faith always looks pretty good when life's going good. You don't have to exercise much faith when you're up on the mountain. Once you get down in the valley a little bit, that's when your faith don't start getting tested more than it ever has. Now you think about the car that you drove into church with. The people that manufactured it and made that car did not give you that car until they tested it first. Because if they'd have gave you that car and they didn't test it, that'd have been an unreliable car. Because they don't know if it's going to work or not. And that's the same way that our faith is. Faith that's untested, it really can't be trusted. Because it hadn't been tested. So what God does is He puts us through these trials in order to test our faith and show us what our faith's really like. And in verse 3, James says, in verse 2, he says, when you fall into various trials, know this, that the trying of your faith works patience. In other words, when your faith is being tested, that's when you're in the various trials. And Peter says this, he says, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations or various trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire. In chapter 4 and verse 12 it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Peter says when the trial comes and it's testing you, don't act like it's some strange thing, because you knew it was coming. But the Bible compares us going through trials to fire being put to gold. To fire being put to gold. Now if I had a piece of fake gold up here and a piece of real gold right here, and y'all looked at them, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. You know how they tell the difference? They put them in the furnace. Because when you put fake gold in the furnace, when it comes out on the other side, it's going to be turned to dust, because it doesn't last in the fire. When you put real gold in the furnace, you know what's going to happen? It's going to come out on the other side shinier and a whole lot prettier than it was when it came in. See, the trials that God puts you through in your life is not meant to destroy you. God's trials that He puts you through in your life is meant to build you up. The trials of your life is not to make you bitter, they're really rather to make you better. God doesn't put you and I through the fire to destroy us. God puts us through the fire to build us up. And so often when that gold goes through the furnace right there, the fire will take off the stuff on the side of it that could contaminate it one day. And that's what God does in our trials too. The things in our life that do not look like Jesus Christ, when we go through the trial, He takes those off. So that when we come out on the other side, we look a whole lot more like Him than we did when we went in. That's what God's up to. When God puts you through a trial, He's trying to drive you closer to Him. He's trying to make you rely upon Him. He's not trying to make you bitter, but He's trying to make you better in order to look more like His Son. And fifthly, the trials of life, from God's perspective, they produce maturity in us, and they produce strength in us. Verse 3, the Bible says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." James says when these various trials come, they're going to test your faith. And when your faith is being tested, it's going to work something that nobody likes to hear: patience. When your faith gets tested, it works patience. And my Lord, my faith was tested yesterday. Y'all might not think so, but I do. Sitting in a Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Supposed to be the fastest drive-thru in the nation. Usually takes 3 to 4 minutes to go through it. 4 cars in the drive-thru yesterday morning, and I sat there for 20 minutes. And I thought, my Lord, I just should have went to McDonald's. But what I wanted to do, take my truck, pull it over, and go out. I didn't feel like waiting anymore, because it was testing my patience, and I was hungry. Hungry, that's right. We don't like when our patience gets tested. The Bible says that's what these trials do. Because our first reaction every single time when they come is, how do I get out of this? God, this hurts. I need a way out. But I told you, far more important to God than just going around it and finding a way out is you going through it and learning something from it. And the Bible says here in verse 4, let patience have her perfect work. In other words, don't run away from it. Just sit here, endure it, and let it work. And the Bible says when you let it work, it will produce maturity in you. It'll make you stronger. See, God does not send you trials for you to try and solve the problem in it. But that's what we do most of the time, is try to solve the problem. But God didn't send it for you to do that. God doesn't send us trials for us to run away from it and find a way out. Rather, God sends us trials to make us trust Him more than we ever have. Because it's not during the good times of life that we grow It's during the hard times of life that we grow the most. You go to the gym and work out, and the next day you wake up and your muscles aren't hurting, they aren't going to grow. But when you physically work out, what it's doing, whatever muscle you're working out, you're basically tearing that muscle and breaking it down so that when it builds back up, it'll be stronger than it was when you tore it down. And that's what life does to you and me. It completely tears us down. It completely breaks us. And when it do, God is up to making us stronger than we were before. That's what your muscles do. They break down and then they build back up stronger than they were before. And when life hurts you and me, God is going to make us grow and He's going to make us stronger than we've ever been. Struggle cultivates strength. Struggle cultivates strength. Pain strengthens. And when you're fearful, you act in faith. Fear drives faith. You know, I've never seen a strong person in my life that had an easy path. The reason when you look around and you see somebody who's strong is because they can turn around in their life and see that they went through some stuff and God made them stronger through it. There's some people sitting on these pews right now that are strong. And it's not because their life was easy. It's because they went through some stuff and God made them stronger through it. The two strongest men that I know in my life are both of my grandpas. I never knew why they were so strong until I sat down and talked to them. And they told me about some of the stuff that they've been through. And the reason they're that strong is because you can turn around and look in their life and see all the struggle that they went through. See all the pain that they went through. And that struggle made them a whole lot stronger. But so many people, it's easy when trial comes our way to look at God and get bitter. And say, God, why would you do that? God, why would you put me through that? But God rather wants us to look at Him and say, I realize you're going to make me better through this. And I don't want to become bitter. Because there's some people that God puts them through trial and they run away from God the rest of their life. But there's some people that go through trial and turn to God and they become one of the strongest people you'll ever know. Because it's through that struggle that cultivated their strength. From God's view, God sees trial as shaping us into His image. And lastly, and I'll be done, but this is my favorite one. Trial not only, from God's perspective, drives us closer to Him, makes us rely upon Him, purifies our faith, and makes us more mature. But lastly, trial equips you and I to help others in their trial. Trial equips you and I to comfort others in their trial. This is a verse that all of us should memorize. It's 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says that God is the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble with the comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted of God. Paul says, every time I go through trouble and God comforts me, it's so that when somebody else is going through trouble, I'll be able to comfort them. Because Paul is then able to walk to these people and say, hey, I know what you're going through. Because God just took me through it and He comforted me and now He sent me to you to comfort you because I know where you are. Listen, when you get a bad report from the doctor and they say you have cancer, do you want to go to somebody who's been in perfect health their entire life and talk to them? Or would you rather go to somebody who's been through cancer, who's fought through it and who came out on the other side and beat it? Which one would you rather talk to? When your marriage is struggling and you don't think it's going to last anymore, would you rather talk to somebody who has no idea what it means to struggle through it, or would you rather talk to somebody who struggled through it and who came out on the other side stronger than they were than when they went in? You'd rather talk to them. And you know what God is in the process of doing? Making you into that person that people come to talk to. So that you might be able to look at them and say, I know what you're talking about. Because I've been there. Paul said the whole reason God puts me through trial is so that I might be able to help other people. So let me tell you, when you go through something and you come out on the other side, all you got to do is take a few looks around on the other side of the pew and see somebody that might be going through the exact same thing that you just went through. God is in the process of making us into the image of Christ. And you know, we're no more like Christ than when we can walk up to people and say, I've been where you've been. Because the Bible says that He's our great high priest who is tempted in all ways like as we are. You say, nobody knows where I'm at this morning. You go home every day and you feel like you're all alone. Nobody knows what that's like. Jesus does. He hung on the cross all by Himself. You say, my family and my friends have turned their backs on me. Nobody knows what that's like. Jesus does. His own Father turned His back in the worst hour of His life. His friends ran away from Him. You say, I'm being tempted by the devil every single day to do stuff that I know is not right. Nobody knows what that's like. Jesus does. He's in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights being tempted constantly by the devil. See, and that's one of the main reasons Jesus came to this earth. So that He might know what you and I go through every single day. And so that when you come to Him, all you've got to do is fall on your knees and say, God, nobody else knows what I'm going through. But You do. Because You've been exactly where I am. You've lost a best friend. John the Baptist died, one of Jesus' best friends. He knew what it was like to grieve. You're going through suffering and trial. Jesus knows what it's like. And you say, this morning, that's a good message, but I'm not going through that. I'm not going through any suffering this morning. Just wait till next Sunday. And all you got to do, you say, I'm not. But just look on the other side of the pew. Because I guarantee it. Somebody on the same pew as you is going through something this week. And they need encouragement and comfort from somebody who's been through it. The trials of this life, they come and they're not easy. They come and we feel like God's nowhere near us. Can I tell you, it's during the trials of life that God walks even closer to you than He ever has. You say, I don't feel Him. Just listen. You'll be able to hear Him. You may not see Him. You may not feel Him. Job looked all around him. He said, I look left, right, in front and behind me, and I don't see Him, but He knows the way that I take. God knows where you're at this morning. God knows what you've been through this week. God's going to walk with you every single step of the way because He's got a purpose for what you're going through. Don't give up. Don't give in. Because God's right beside you. And He wants to teach you something through it, musicians, you can come forward. Father, we thank You this morning for all that You've done for us, God. And I just thank You for Your Word that we can find encouragement in this morning, Lord. And I realize that there's a lot of people in here this morning, Lord, and there's at least one that's going through something. So, Lord, I pray that You'll comfort somebody. God, I pray that You'll wrap Your arms around them, and I pray, God, that You'll make Yourself real to them like You never have before. And God, I pray that through the trials and the struggles and the hardships and the adversity that we go through in this life, God, I pray that we won't turn away from You, but God, I pray that we'll rather turn to You more than we ever have. And God, I pray that it's through those things that we learn the greatest lessons that we've ever learned. And Lord, I pray that during this invitation time that You'll just speak to every single heart in here, God, and help us that if we're not going through something, to find somebody today that we can encourage to keep on keeping on. And knowing that God is faithful on the mountain and He's faithful in the valley. So Lord, we thank You this morning. I pray You'll have Your will and Your way in all that's done the rest of the service. And Lord, for all of it, we thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.